If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, reading verses 25 through 34. Mark 5, 25 through 34. Jesus is in the middle of a large crowd on his way to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. When something happens that kind of involves a little side trip for Jesus. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say who touched me?" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Imagine the scene. People are everywhere, pushing, pulling, trying to move forward to get a closer look. After all, Jesus had a reputation. Crowds were following him, and they had just heard this leader, Jairus, to tell Jesus his daughter is very, very ill. And Jesus says, "I will go with you." And so the crowds are rushing along, trying to get a glimpse of another show, another healing, something to wow the crowd. Some are stumbling and staggering along, just barely able to keep from falling and being trampled by the rest of the crowd. Some are calling out like autograph hounds, while others laugh and make fun of them for following him and for being so excited. Why would anyone want to risk being crushed in that flow of humanity jostled all around? Sure, if you believe the stories, he might be a superstar, but his band wasn't all that impressive. Then there was that one hopeful person pushing through a mosh pit of people. She had hoped. She had dreamed for years that she could stop hemorrhaging. She never felt good anymore. Barely had enough strength to get along. Had been to all the doctors around. Had been to all the shamans. Anyone from whom she thought she might get some help. In fact, she'd been taken by a number of those supposed healers, and she had lost all of her money. But now she had heard that Jesus was in the area. And so she goes out, and in the middle of this crowd, she sets about a daunting task to try and get close. For all the roadies were around as well, trying to keep people away. How was she going to get through this mob? As she was jostling around, she probably prayed, "Please, please God, let me get close. I will not crowd him. I won't ask for his autograph. I just want to get close enough just to touch his robe. Just to grab hold for a few seconds. Please, that's all I need. Oh, please." Suddenly, in front of her, she couldn't believe her eyes, there was a brief opening. Not much, just a sliver of light. through the crowd. Someone bumped her and she almost fell on her face. But there he was, just a few feet away. All she had to do was take another step and reach out. She reached out and was barely able to brush the edge of his robe with the tips of her fingers before the gap in the crowd closed. She shuddered. She felt elated. She had gotten there, and suddenly something within her felt different. And the hemorrhaging that had gone on for 12 years without stopping ceased. Now she turned, thinking, "I'll just slip out of the crowd and go back home." Through the noise of the throng, she heard a voice ring out, "Who touched me?" She froze for a moment because she recognized the voice, and it was the voice of Jesus. She tried to duck her head and get away quickly as the members of his band looked around incredulously and said, "You've got to be kidding. With all these people here, everybody pushing and jostling, they're about to crush us. And you tell us that somebody touched you? How in the world can you know that?" Jesus said, "I felt the power leave me. Now who touched me?" Everyone was looking at Jesus except for her. She froze in her tracks and turned around slowly as she skulked back toward Jesus and fell at his feet, telling her story, telling it through fear and tears. And she apologized for being so selfish. But Jesus looked at her, with everyone on pins and needles waiting to see what he was going to do now because somebody had touched him. And he spoke lovingly and called her daughter. And then he spoke of her wholeness and her faith. The story is a familiar one. And we marvel at the action that this woman took. Think of the courage born out of desperation. Think of the desperation that she must have felt that pushed her to this point. She had moxie, at least for a moment, to dare to grab hold of God, which is really what she did. In fact, she grabbed hold of God, maybe not quite the way that Jacob had done when he wrestled with an angel all night long, and that angel refused to let him go, and he refused to let the angel go. In both instances, Jacob and this woman were in need of God's help. And in both instances, they reached out and they grabbed hold of God. They grabbed hold of God looking for sustenance. How wonderful that they received everything they needed. And yet, how many Christians miss out because we never grab hold of God? For whatever reason, we don't reach out and grab on, thereby not fully knowing God's compassionate love. Some accept in theory that God cares for us and that God loves us with a forever kind of love. And yet, they stay back in the shadows and miss out on all the possibilities because they're afraid to really grab hold of God because of what it might mean, not just healing, but also a commission, a challenge. our belief in God's love. Sometimes we know mentally, and yet we miss out because our faith doesn't connect with the reality of what God has for us if we but grab hold. So what can we learn from this incident about grabbing hold of God and what we can gain and what we have to offer? How can we overcome isolation and fear? For you see, this woman was isolated. This woman was fearful. In spite of the fact that she went to doctors and to others, she was isolated. She wasn't able to go and worship. Because of this flow of blood, she was considered unclean and could not even go near the local synagogue or the temple to pray and to worship God. How do we develop the courage to grab hold of God? What can we expect if we grab hold of God? The questions are endless. But where do we begin in answering them? I think the first step is to put our beliefs into action, the action of prayer. Prayer was the first activity. The text says that as she moved toward him, she prayed. And it was an activity of love. It was a personal response to God's love and loving care. It wasn't passive. It wasn't just sitting back as we often think of prayer. But it was an activity. It moved her to do something to seek out God in an even greater way. Nobody could cure her. In fact, for many, her mere existence wasn't pleasant because she was constantly shunned, especially by those whom she really needed, the religious folks, those who knew of God's care and God's love and who were to share that. And yet she was shunned because of a physical situation. I'm sure she prayed before to God, asking for God's help. But it wasn't until she acted with that prayer that she found release and wholeness. Love implies not only a longing, but a communing with the person. A communing with the person. Luke said, if you have a girlfriend, you kiss her. That's an action. It's not just sitting back. That's an activity. It's something that you do because of that love. You want to commune, acting on that longing. Jesus retreated from the crowds many times to actively commune with God by praying, but then he would come out of that communion and act on the commission that he had from that prayer with God. This woman prayed and then took a chance. She prayed and she took a chance. We sometimes think that merely uttering words is enough, because after all, we're so overextended in our lives that we don't even have time to do one more thing, do we? Yet we need to remember that the only way to truly benefit from a relationship is to make time for those who matter. Is to make time for those who matter. Starting with God and extending that to others around. It's an affirmation that they're important to us. This woman determined to make time to seek out Jesus, if only for a moment, because of her prayers to God. Some think that God will be reluctant to hear them, but we need to remember, as Phillips Brooks said, prayer is not conquering God's reluctance, but taking hold of God's willingness. Prayer is not conquering God's reluctance, but taking hold of God's willingness. And in the moment that she reached out, she found God's willingness to heal. She found wholeness and acceptance in Jesus. Her faith and Jesus were brought together, and that effected her healing process. In the book Centering Prayer, Basil Pennington writes, "A father is delighted when his little one, leaving off his toys and friends, runs to him and climbs into his arms. He cares little whether the child is looking around or just settling down to sleep. Essentially, the child is choosing to be with the father, confident of the love, the care, and the security that is there in those arms. The first step is prayer, and the second is to approach God with confidence. With confidence of what He can and will do for us, we who are His children." After approaching Jesus, she eventually confessed the whole truth as to the what and to the why of her actions. Her initial action and the subsequent confession show both her gratitude and her courage. With a sense of awe and limited understanding of what happened to her, she declared the truth of the healing of her person. Not just the hemorrhage, but she felt something else inside as well. This helpless person dared to grab hold of God and surrender to His healing. So what else is gained by grabbing hold of God? Note Jesus' final words to her. "Be whole from your affliction. Go in peace. And be healed of your disease." She leaves with more than just peace from rejection because of her physical condition. She experienced a profound sense of well-being related not only to God's salvation, but in her entire being. And Jesus confirms that that healing is permanent and that God honors a faith like this woman, a faith that dares to grab hold of God. The faith began as confidence in a miracle worker, but it came much greater and changed the depths of her heart when she acted and found that wholeness. As I asked earlier, how many Christians miss out because we never grab hold of God? What grand things do we miss when we sit back in the crowd, afraid to move forward, or simply being content with getting lost in the crowd, being just another face in the masses? Or perhaps we worry that our afflictions will be noticed by others, so we try to blend into the back. Yet the one who comes to heal the sick and to lift up those who are down is looking in the crowd for anyone who will touch Him, who will grab hold. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "What matters in life is a faith which lays hold of God." And when we do, Jesus is ready to say, "Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole." But first we have to grab hold. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You that You do care for us so much that You allow us to grab hold, that You enjoy when we do turn, when we jump into Your loving arms, or when we just reach out and take Your hand. Help us to have the courage to grab hold of You and to share with You the truth of our afflictions so that You can say fully and truly to us, be whole and go in peace. We plead these things unto you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 528. My faith has found a resting place. As we sing, our altar is open for any who would find that resting place with Christ and make that decision public. For any who would feel led to join our ministry in this place. Or for any who have not taken hold of God lately, but would commit yourself to grabbing hold again. Hymn number 528, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place.